for the last time. He had set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem and toward the cross. In just a few hours, he'll be sitting at the table of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It'll not be long until he sits in the upper room. It won't be long till the perspiration as drops of blood will flow from his brow in Gethsemane. In just a little while, he'll be tried by a mock trial. It'll not be long till the cat of nine tails shall pierce the flesh of his back and make it impossible to even know that he is a human being. He is going through Jericho for the last time. For the last time. He'll not be through Jericho again. This is his last trip. As he comes through Jericho, great crowds gathered to see him. His fame had spread over all of Palestine. It had been said of him over all the land, "This man can cause blind eyes to see. This man can cause deaf ears to hear. This man stilled the waves and calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. This man causes people with leprosy to be cleansed as a child in a baby's skin. This man heals the sick. This man raises the dead." And all over the land of Palestine, it was spread that our Lord was performing miracles. And so everywhere he went, people rushed to see him and thronged to his side. He comes through Jericho, and get the story, and give me 5 minutes of your attention, careful attention. He comes to Jericho, and the crowds rush to see him. There's a blind man sitting beside the way who's begging. He does not know why all the commotion. He hears the people as they pass by, and the blind man looks up and says, "What's happening? Why all the commotion? What's all the rush about?" And the people tell him these words. I think they're beautiful words. "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't there a ring about that that's sweet? "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And that's our message this morning. For if you're here today and you're not saved, just as really as it happened 2,000 years ago in the city of Jericho, Jesus of Nazareth passes by this morning. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now I want you to notice several things. Here's what happened. The blind man said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd, the disciples in the crowd said, "Leave him alone. Don't do that." They rebuked him, pressed him the more, and kept crying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." The more they tried to hush him, the more he kept shouting, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus did have mercy, and the man was marvelously healed. They were amazed, and there was glorifying and praising of God. Now I want you to notice five simple and brief truths. And as I give them to you, if you will listen, I think I can help you. In the first place, if others had not come, he would not have come. If others had not come, he would not have come either. For he had no way to see. It was only the beating of the feet of others on the pavement that caused him to want to come to Christ. He knew nothing about who was in town. He did not know that Jesus of Nazareth was there. He did not know this was his opportunity to be healed. He simply, with his eyes blinded, began to hear people as they rushed and as they flocked by, and he heard the beating of the feet upon the pavement, the concrete, no doubt, of the brick streets, and he said, "Oh, what all the commotion!" In fact, over here in Luke 18, I read it to you. It said, "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. He would not have come himself had others not been going." Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's why it's easier to be saved in a church like this than other churches? Others are getting saved. I have seen people come to this church by the hundreds and not like my preaching. Now, that's always amazing to me. A nice, friendly, lovable fellow like me. Why people don't just love me, I don't understand it. I love you very much, and I don't understand it. But they don't like my preaching, and they don't make a move. And then suddenly the invitation comes, and down the aisles the people come, receiving Christ as Savior. And then the conviction settles in. Why? Because they hear the feet of others moving. They see others moving. They see others' tears. They hear the cry of others. They see others on their knees at the altar. And they too come. This morning, if you're not saved, may I say this very kindly? You have not chosen the church this morning that has the best preacher in America. You have not chosen the church this morning that has the most handsome choir director in America. In fact, it's on the other end of the pole. But you have not chosen the church this morning that is perhaps the most intellectual church in America. But I'll tell you what you've done. You've chosen the church in America where it's easiest to get saved. Isn't that something? I mean, congratulations! If you're not saved this morning, you are sitting this morning in the building, in the room, where more people have been saved in the last 12 months than any other room in America. Think about it. In the world! Think about it! It's easier for you to be saved today, for others are coming to Christ. And so this blind man would never have come to Christ had he not heard the trampling of the feet and heard the commotion about him. And he said, what happens? Why all the commotion? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He passes by you this morning. He wants you to cry and ask for mercy. But there's something else. Did you know that you too are responsible for others? Had these others not come, he would not have come. Had he not heard the rustling of the feet of others, he himself would not have cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You are responsible for others. There's a husband this morning or a father in this house. If you had come to Christ, your wife would come to Christ. If you had come to Christ, your son would come to Christ. If you would come to Christ, your daughter would come to Christ. For the rustling of your feet would bring others to say, what happens here? And they too would come to the Savior. Ah, that was a blessed thing last Sunday morning, wasn't it, when Mr. Waddell brought his brother to Christ? That policeman who came one Sunday, Mr. Waddell, where are you? Was this a Sunday morning you were saved or Sunday night? Night. Okay, there's his wife. Okay, where's your husband? He's working. Somebody's got to be tending to the store and taking care of all the crooks while we're... that Sunday night, Mr. Waddell, sitting up in the balcony, I thought he was mad. I really did. I looked up and I saw this fella. He had a songbook in his hand and he took it and threw it like that. And I thought, uh-oh, he's coming after me. And didn't scare me a bit. I mean, I thought he was coming after me. He came to the, did you notice that he stayed in that chair? That is a tremendous feat, isn't it? But anyway, he came down those steps and he got to the corner and he pulled himself around the corner and shot over there to those steps and ran down this, I mean, three or four steps at a time. And I thought, good night, wherever he's going, he's in a hurry. He got back here to this aisle. He put his hand on the corner of that corner, that last pew back there on my left, and he whirled around and he ran down this aisle. It was the last stanza. He fell on his face and was converted like several other grown men were that Sunday night, and his life was changed. He's won people to Christ all over this town. He won his wife and his wife's folks and others. And last Sunday morning, down the aisle, he brought two big old men came down the aisle, and both of them are crying. Mr. Waddell's face was so disfigured, I didn't even know who he was. No joke. He was crying so hard, and his face was so disfigured that I said to this man, I said, you want to be saved? He said, yes, sir. That was his brother. I turned to Mr. Waddell. I know the guy. I said, you want to be saved too? He said, I'm already saved. And when he straightened up a bit, I noticed it was Mr. Waddell. Do you know that that you stand in the door of others? I mean, if that man had not come down the aisle last spring like he did and had his life transformed by the gospel of the grace of God, his wife would not have been saved soon. His folks would not have been saved soon. His brother would not have been saved soon. That means this morning that not only do you hold your own destiny in your hands as you face the gospel of Jesus Christ while Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, but you hold the destiny of your wife and your children and your neighbors and those who look to you. It's doubly important that you should be saved. But there's another truth here I want you to notice, and that is, Jesus passed by Jericho only a few times. Now listen carefully. Did you know that the average person doesn't usually have over that many chances, good chances, to get saved. Did you know that? You wonder why I put the pressure on? You wonder why I say, please, today, now, don't wait, don't put it off. You wonder why? Tell you why. Because the average person doesn't have that many good chances to be saved. Listen to me. I know you can get saved anywhere. I know you can get saved anytime, but you won't get saved just anywhere, anytime. No man cometh from the Father except the Spirit of God draw him. Well, I know the Spirit of God woos you all the time, but the truth of the matter is there are four or five times or less in your life that Satan knows you will have an easy time or a real conviction about salvation. He knows that he can get you over those times. He'll have your soul in hell forever. It may be a car wreck, a narrow escape, and you thought, you know, where would I have gone if I had died? But soon Christmas came and you got busy working nights. Or soon Thanksgiving came and you got busy thinking about Thanksgiving plans. Or soon summer came and you got busy thinking about a vacation. And that thing that had weighed heavy on your soul, that thing that on which your mind had dwelled, I've got to die. I've got to face God. I'm going to heaven or hell. I've got an immortal soul that will live somewhere forever. That thing began to weigh heavy and heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. Till finally, suddenly, Jesus had passed by. Jesus did not pass through Jericho many times. He had been there before, to be sure, but not many times. If this blind man gets healed or gets saved, it will be one of just a few times, for our Lord never came through Jericho often, just occasionally. That maybe you had an illness. Maybe you felt a pain in your chest and you thought it was a heart attack. I know I've had 35 or 40 of them, heart attacks. And I've many times gone to the doctor and diagnosed my case. And I usually have whatever the patient has that I'm visiting at the time. And I was at the hospital one time with Jim Lyons. And Jim and I, lady had cancer. And she told the symptoms. And she said, you know, I start off hurting right over in here. And I said to Jim, I said, you know where I'm hurting? And I said, he said, well, same place I'm hurting, right over in here. And but maybe you were ill, and you said, oh, I've got to die. Or maybe a soul winner came by and knocked on your house one day, and you felt convicted. You felt a need to come to Christ. And for a while, you said, I ought to be saved. But it passed by. Or maybe you came to a big day, one day at a church when they had 11,348, and you felt a need to come back the next Sunday, and you were here this morning because you wanted to come back. Let me say this. Jesus passed by last Sunday. He is passing by today. He may be passed tomorrow, the next Sunday, and you may never have this feeling again. That's why I beg you, if this morning you feel the least desire to be saved, teenagers, if there is in your heart this morning the least desire, sailors from over the Great Lakes, we're glad you're here. If this morning you're not saved and there's any feeling at all in here, oh, men this morning, grown men with all the responsibilities of a business and a family and of finances and all the load that men have to carry today, if you feel the least desire, if there's a little tug at your heart this morning, if there's the least desire to become a Christian, I beg you in God's name, be saved today. You may not feel that again. Oh, would you this morning consider, ladies, young people, children, if this morning there's the heavenly dove settles and says, you ought to be a Christian. If there's the least feeling of conviction, if there's the least desire to become a Christian, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. That's what it is. You say, preacher, one lady said not long ago, she said, well, when you stood to preach, I just started to cry. I didn't know why. I didn't know what it was. Oh, but she said, my eyes just filled with tears, and it began to tingle all over. She said, what was it? That was Jesus of Nazareth passing by. This morning, if you say, oh, I've got to die. I know I have to die, and I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. What is it? Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. You say this morning, oh, Brother Hiles, I'm convicted about my life. I'm convicted that I've not been saved. What is that feeling I feel? I'm not emotional. I don't usually think about things like this, but all of a sudden, I'm confronted with eternity. What is it? Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He won't pass by many times in your life. And Satan knows this morning if he can cause some baby to cry and get your mind off the message. Satan knows this morning if some note-writing, whispering teenager can get your mind off the message. Satan knows this morning if the heat of the building can get you to relax and go off to sleep. He knows this morning that he can get you to shake your head and get your mind off what I'm saying. He knows! But if he can get you to let Jesus pass by today, he knows as well as I know and as well as God knows. He knows this morning that there'll not be many other chances when Jesus of Nazareth will pass by. You know, it's an amazing thing to me why a person wouldn't just want to be saved right off the bat. Last week, on Monday, we buried one of our faithful, wonderful, godly members, Mr. Harry Davis. And that reminded me of a story that I told at the funeral and of Mrs. Nobile. Mrs. Nobile, by the way, she died shortly after she was saved. She was a lady that was about 65 or 70. She came on Sunday morning and she sat right over here. But Tlepax, raise your hand, would you? About where the Tlepax are. And she sat there and I preached. She was reared in Italy and had not been in America very long. She was a staunch Roman Catholic, and that doesn't make her a bad lady, but she'd reared in Italy. And she didn't know much about the gospel. So I went to her home one Friday afternoon, knocked on the door. She had a lot of souvenirs. And I walked in and I said, "Mine, I'm Brother Hyatt." "Oh," she said, and I can't talk Italian. All of my accents are Jewish. I don't know why. But if I quote a German or a Mexican, it's always, bring out the eight. But anyway, she said, "Pastor," she said, "Oh, Brother Hyatt, won't you come in?" She said, "Could I give you something?" She tried to give me everything in the house. I didn't take it. I just took half the stuff. I wouldn't take everything poor lady had. But she tried. I said, "Hey, what a cute antique this is." "Oh, won't you take it? Won't you take it?" And finally, I went to the kitchen, the dining room table, big open set of doors between the living room and dining room. And I sat at the dining room table. And she said, "Let me serve you some refreshment." And I did. And I drank some juice or something. And I said, "Now, can I tell you a story?" She said, "Oh, yes." And I said, "One time, God made a man." She said, "What was his name?" And I said, "His name was Adam." "Can you feature anybody not knowing any more than that?" And she, "Adam? Adam what?" I said, "Just Adam, Adam." And "God made a woman from his side, for real." "A woman from real?" "Yes, God made a woman from real. And her name was Eve." "Eve. Well, Adam and Eve." "Yes, Adam and Eve." And I said, "And God fellowshiped with them." "Oh," she said, "isn't that wonderful?" I said, "They talked together." She said, "They got to talk to God?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Isn't that wonderful?" Never had heard. Never had heard. And so I said, God gave them a choice to love him or not love him, to serve him or not serve him, to sin or not sin. She said, "What did they choose?" And I said, "They chose to sin. And because they chose to sin, they were separated from God." And she said, "Oh, that's so sad." Tears swelled up in her eyes. I mean, I thought everybody knew this story, you know. And great big old tears. She said, "What happened?" And I said, "God loved them. And God sent his son, Jesus. And Jesus bore their sins and went to the cross and paid the price for their sins so that if they'd trust him, they could have fellowship with God again." And she said, "Oh, isn't that nice? They could get back to..." I said, "Yes, get back to God." And I said, "By the way, they're representatives of you. You're just like Adam and Eve. You too have sinned. You too chose to go away from God." She said, "That's right." And she began to cry. But I said, "If you would kneel here now and receive Christ and what he did for you on the cross as your hope for sin, you could have your fellowship with God restored. You could go to heaven when you die." She said, "I could." And I said, "Yes, you can." She said, "Good. Can I do it now?" Now, that's where everybody ought to get saved. Everybody. I mean, when you first hear that you don't have to go to hell, you ought to say, "Hot doggity doggity, I can go to heaven." You ought to jump at the chance. Why should we have to beg you and beat you and browbeat you and plead with you to cause you to go to heaven when you die? It doesn't make sense. And so she said, "Can I do it now?" I never will forget it. We knelt to pray. And so I said, "Now, ask God to forgive you and say your own prayer. Ask God to have mercy on you and save you and tell him you're trusting Jesus now." And she started praying in Italian, I guess. I couldn't tell what it was. It was in English. And so there are people that think that what I talk is not English either. But she began to pray, and she jabbered something. And I said, "Now then, did you receive Christ?" She said, "Didn't you hear me?" I said, "Yes, and I heard you." Well, she said, "Did I say what was right?" And I said, "What did you say?" And then she put her hands over her face and said, "Oh, I'm not saved." I said it in Italian. And I said, "I've got good news for you. God knows Italian too." She said, "He does?" I said, "Yes, he knows Italian too." And she said, "Am I saved?" I said, "If you trusted Christ." And the next Sunday morning, she sat here, down the aisle she came. In a few days, she was in heaven. You know, Jesus doesn't pass by very often. He doesn't, that feeling you feel, that conviction you feel, that burden you feel, that load of sin you feel, you won't feel it very often. If this morning you feel it, act upon it. Be saved today. But there's a third thought, and that is this thought: he never passed by again. He never passed by again. Now this man did not know he would not come again. All this man knew was there's some beating of the feet on the pavement. He did not know that this was the last time. He said, "What's all the noise about?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And the man said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He did not know it, but that was the last chance he had ever had. The last chance he had ever had. Now this morning, you do not know either. He may pass by again next Sunday, but you do not know it. He may pass by three more times in your life, but you do not know it. This may be your last chance. My mind is filled this morning of stories that might make me weep. Say, that pew where you're sitting. Right now, look at it. That pew where you're sitting. Somebody has sat on that pew before who heard the gospel and Jesus passed by for the last time. Yeah. That pew where you're sitting on, but right there, where you're sitting this morning. There, those pews, those, these chairs. Your pew, that pew on which you sat this morning. Someone sat on that pew one time, and they said no. And they said, "I'll have plenty of chances." They thought what you think this morning, but plenty of chances they did not have. For Jesus of Nazareth was passing by for the last time. Down in Marshall, Texas, where I pastored as a kid preacher, the fourth pew from the front was a very sacred pew to me. I could never pass by it without weeping. For on that pew my father sat and heard the gospel for the last time. He did not know it was the last time. I did not know it was the last time. That morning on January the 1st, 1945, Jesus of Nazareth passed by. 1950, Jesus of Nazareth passed by. He passed by my dad on that fourth pew, and my dad trembled and shook as he touched the pew with his hands. And if we had known, we did not know. But I pastored that church for several months and years after that. And do you know, Dr. Billings, every time I'd get close to that pew, I'd cry. Oh, that pew told me story after story. This morning, somebody has sat on the pew where you're sitting, and Jesus passed by. And they did not cry, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he never passed by again. He never passed by again. There's another thought, and I like this. Nothing could stop this fellow from getting saved. Nothing. This poor blind man, standing with a cup in his hand, no doubt, begging for money. And somebody, he said, "What's all the noise about?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth passes by." And he said, in the Greek, it implies it was about like this. He said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they said, "Shh." And he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they rebuked him and said, "Hush." He said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He was going to get healed before Jesus got by. You know one reason why I think he shouted so loud? I think he shouted loudly because he couldn't see. Jesus may be over this direction right now, and so he had to shout. So if he was shouting the wrong direction, you'd hear him over here. But he was going to get saved. May I say this morning, if you do not know you're going to heaven, don't you leave before you get saved. Do it! Do it! Do it! Do it! Do it! Don't leave without Christ. For this morning, Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Nothing could stop him. Don't let your parents stop you. You teenagers, some of your parents say, "You get saved and you'll have to leave the house." Now, I don't think y'all be disrespectful to your parents. And if they say don't join First Baptist, then that's a different issue. But if they say don't get saved, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. This morning, popularity may say, don't get saved, do it anyway. Business may say, don't be saved, do it anyway. If you feel a thing, and may I say quickly what he did. What did the man do? Verse 42, I'll read it to you, tells exactly what he did. And Jesus saith unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. He didn't join a church. He didn't get baptized. He didn't turn over a new leaf. He didn't perform any good works. He just put his faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, thy faith has saved thee. Say over here on my right. If you don't know that you're saved, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by this morning. Hey, you folks here, I don't know all of you, but in this section, if you don't know that you're going to heaven, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Hey, you people here, I've got some good news for you. He loves you. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Hey, kids, I got some hot news for you. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Way back in the balcony in the corners, I don't know you, but you're there, and God knows you're there, and He loves you. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. May I plead with you, lovingly and kindly, don't let Him pass by without you crying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Let us pray together, please. Our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. Everyone is still and quiet. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He passes by your aisle this morning. He passes down your pew. He will not pass forever. He will not come often. He may be passing by for the last time. I wonder, while our heads are bowed, would you be honest with me this morning? Would you be honest with yourself and with your God? I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, he passed by one time where I was, and I trusted him as my Savior. He passed by one time where I was, and I trusted him. I'm saved, and I know it. If I died today, I would go to heaven, and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please? Yes, God bless you. You may lower your hands. God bless you. Now, may I say, I love you this morning because God loves you. I don't want to hurt you or embarrass you. I just want you to go to heaven when you die. I wonder how many could not raise your hand, but every eye is closed so no one will be embarrassed. Say this morning, first on the lower floor, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand. For I do not know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. I wish I did. I do not know that if I died today, I would go to heaven, but I wish I did know. I wish I did. Would you pray for me, Pastor, that I may know that I'm saved? On the lower floor, quietly lift your hand, and I promise I'll pray for you. God bless you over on my right. God bless you. God bless you, sir. He loves you this morning. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, pray for me. God bless you. Ah, that's wonderful. God bless that couple. God loves you this morning. Who else on the lower floor? Yes, God bless you, little girl. God bless you. He loves you this morning. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, Brother Hiles, I do not know that if I died, I would go to heaven. But I wish I did. Pray for me when you pray. Would you lift your hand? God bless you, little lady. Who else on the lower floor? Quietly, would you lift your hand? Pray for me. God bless you, sir. God love you. God bless that man. God bless the lady way back in the back. God bless you. And God bless you, two, three hands over here on my right next to the wall. I see you. Are there others? Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. I wonder who else would say, include me in the prayer. On the lower floor, would you raise your hand? God bless you, fella. God bless you. Oh, yes, sir, there's a man over here. God bless this man. God loves you this morning, sir. God loves you. Who else on the lower floor? Thank you. God bless you. Down the balcony on my left, the east balcony. God bless you. And you, sir. And you, young man. God bless you. And you, fella. And you, little girl. God bless you. God bless you, son. In the center balcony. Pray for me. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Would you lift your hand, please? I'm not saved, but I want to be. In the balcony on my right, the south balcony, would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. And God bless you. And you. And you. Yes. Every eye is closed. Every head is bowed. In a real sense this morning, just as really as it was 2,000 years ago on the streets of Jericho, in Hammond, Indiana, November 15, 1970, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Aren't you glad he did? Aren't you glad he did? Right where you are, would you mean it in your heart? And would you say the prayer of that poor blind beggar? Silently where you are, every hand that was raised, would you say this? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Won't you? Say it now. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then go ahead and say this to him also. I do now receive you as my Savior. Would you? Would you? Our Father, make it so. Bless these 6 or 8 grown men, a dozen ladies, several teenagers, numbers of children. May this morning they realize that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. May they trust him today. Now our heads are bowed. In a moment we're going to stand and sing. If you're willing this morning to say, I will now make this the moment when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm going to ask you when we stand and sing to leave your seat, come to the nearest aisle, down the aisle to the front, and let me know that you're receiving Christ as your Savior. I hope you will. If you have trusted him and need to make it public, you come. If you need to join this church by transfer of membership, you come. But to all of you who do not know that you're saved, you leave your seat, come down the aisle, let me know that you're trusting Christ for this morning. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Father, bless the invitation with power. In the name of the Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. Shall we stand, please?